Reflection that guide both heart and mind. A better life through faith we'll find. A better life through faith we'll find. Reflections for the better life.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله viewers of Madani channel welcome back to another fantastic show on the silsila Reflections for a Better Life. MashaAllah, today on Reflections for a Better Life, we are going to be discussing a beautiful topic, and that is regarding how do we define being fortunate. Yes, we are going to be diving deep into this topic of discussion. But before that, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that decorate your gatherings by reciting salawat upon me, for your recitation of salawat upon me will be a noor, a light for you on the day of qiyamah. So let us all collectively with full of love send salawat upon the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, TVs of Madani channel, first and foremost, we thank our most merciful creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the countless blessings that he has bestowed upon you and I, and upon that we say alhamdulillah rabbil alameen ala kulli hal. We should always make it our habit to show gratitude in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more thanks you show to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more Allah ta'ala will grant you. So yes, we are going to be speaking about how do we define being fortunate. And we are going to be diving into different angles. How do we term someone as fortunate? How do we judge that? You know, and in today's day and age, there's much talk, there's much discussion about this one topic, who is fortunate. And today, everyone has established their own standards of being fortunate according to their own thinking. Someone may say that the one who has a very nice vehicle is fortunate. Someone else may say the one who possesses a lot of wealth is fortunate. Another may say the one whose house is very beautiful, that person is fortunate. Another person may say the one who has connections with influential people is very fortunate, and so on and so on. But today, inshallah, in the light of the Quran and Hadith, we are going to try to understand whether those we consider fortunate are truly fortunate, or whether the reality is the opposite. One day, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked his best companions, alayhim ridwan, do you know what the example of you, your family, your wealth, and your deeds is? The best ashab, alayhim ridwan, they said, Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know best. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the example of you, your family, your wealth, and your deeds is like a person who has three brothers. So when the time of his death approaches, he calls his three brothers and says to one of them, you can see my condition, tell me, what can you do for me? So that brother replies, I can do this much for you. For now, I will care for you, stay with you, fulfill your needs and necessities. Then, when you pass away, I will give you ghusl, shroud you, and along with others, I'll carry your janazah as well, and I'll shoulder it also, and at times others will. Then, after returning from your burial, whoever asks about you, I will only mention your good qualities to them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this brother is actually that person's family. Then, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked his companions, what do you think about this brother? They said, we do not find much goodness in you. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then he says to the second brother, that you too can see my condition, what can you do for me? That brother replies, I will remain with you as long as you are alive. As soon as you leave this dunya, as soon as you leave this world, our paths are going to separate, because you will enter the grave while I will remain here in the world. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this brother is actually that person's wealth. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, "What do you think about him?" They said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we also do not consider him to be good." Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Then that person says to the third brother, 'But surely you can also see my condition, and you have heard the response of my family and wealth. Tell me, what can you do for me?' Now that brother consoles him and says that, 'I will remain with you even in the grave. I will protect you from fear and anxiety. When the day of Qiyamah arrives, I will sit in your scale and make it heavy.'" Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "This is his good deeds, his righteous deeds." Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, "What do you think about this one?" And the companions, they said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is indeed a very good companion." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "This is the reality." Subhanallah, subhanallah. What a beautiful example, dear viewers of Malaysia. You know, today, two things are given tremendous importance: family lineage and wealth. I mean, reflect upon it. Today, a person becomes extremely proud of their family background because of his family's respectability. Now he becomes arrogant and boastful throughout his entire life. He has risked everything just to accumulate wealth. If he has hardship and difficulties, tolerates the taunts of people, sacrifices his own comfort, endures heat and cold, and even puts his own future at stake merely to secure the future of others, whereas in reality they will only accompany him as far as the graveyard. The second thing is wealth, which a person loves a lot, which he carefully protects and safeguards in this world, for which he sacrifices his sleep at night, for attaining, you know, which he forgets the distinction between lawful and unlawful, earns through deceiving people, you know, for whose sake he leaves his family and travels to distant places for gathering, which countless methods are devised and committees are formed, yet that wealth will remain with him only until death. As soon as he passes away, all his wealth, property, possessions will be divided among his wife, children, siblings and relatives. Now remember that there is no harm in remaining occupied with one's wife and children for their proper upbringing and the fulfillment of their rights, nor in striving for lawful sustenance according to one's needs and the needs of one's children and those, you know, whose maintenance is obligatory upon a person. However, becoming so immersed in, you know, loving one's children and family, then one forgets his obligations towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Becoming proud and arrogant because of one's children and continuously striving to accumulate wealth beyond necessity are not only harmful but also cause deprivation of eternal success. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran, "Know that the life of this world is merely play and amusement and adornment and mutual arrogance amongst you and the desire of exceeding each other with more wealth and children." And at the end of this verse, Allah Ta'ala says, "And the life of this world is but a provision of deceit." Now, in Tafsir Siratul Jinan, it's mentioned in summary that the life of this world consists of boasting among one another and competing in wealth and in children. When this is the reality of the world and such evils are present within it, then rather than attaching, you know, one's heart to it and remaining occupied in acquiring it, a person should engage in those deeds through which the life of the hereafter may be beautified. Yes. So, from the narration that I've mentioned early on, and from this beautiful verse, the Holy Quran, we learn that family, children and wealth are only beneficial in worldly life. Family and children accompany a person only until the graveyard. Family, children and wealth merely assist with funeral arrangements and burial, whereas good deeds continue to benefit a person even inside the grave. Family, children, wealth and possessions abandon a person as soon as he dies, but good deeds do not leave him alone even in the grave. An intelligent person should continue striving to increase good deeds instead of, you know, greedily pursuing excess wealth and boasting about his children, because good deeds have so many benefits. through the blessings of good deeds, the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala's Ateen, paradise will be granted. The person is protected from the punishment of the grave and the punishment on the day of Qiyamah as well. They become a means for the forgiveness of sins. It's a means of divine rahmah to descend. And good deeds will appear in a very beautiful and pleasant form in one's grave. Yes, it will actually be a source of comfort and peace in the grave. And they become a means of earning a good reputation among people. Good deeds increases one's lifespan. Good deeds becomes, you know, a means of safety and salvation in this world and in the hereafter. Right? Good deeds, it remains with a person until the day of Qiyamah. It protects a person from the horrors of the day of Qiyamah. It will benefit a person on the scale of deeds. It will help a person cross the bridge of Sirat. It will become a means of entering Jannah and attaining higher ranks within it. So now, dear viewers of Madani Channel, ask yourself and reflect, who is truly fortunate? Is the one with a great family truly fortunate? Is the one with a lot of wealth fortunate? Or is the one who spends his life performing good deeds and enters the grave with them truly fortunate? And of course, every wise, sensible, intelligent person will spontaneously answer that those who do good deeds, they are the ones who are fortunate. Who is genuinely fortunate? Who will attain true success? To understand the Subhanallah, let us look into the Holy Quran, wherein it is mentioned, whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, Allah will admit him to the gardens beneath which rivers flow. They will reside therein forever. This is a great success. Subhanallah. At another place, Allah Ta'ala says, so whoever was saved from the fire and admitted to Jannah, indeed he succeeded. Subhanallah. Under this verse in Tafsir Sirat al-Dinan, it is mentioned that it became known that true success on the day of Qiyamah is being saved from Jahannam and admitted into Jannah. Worldly success is indeed a form of success in itself. But if this success becomes a cause of loss in the hereafter, then in reality it is a loss. Especially those people who do everything for worldly success but do nothing for success in the hereafter, they are definitely in loss. And therefore, every Muslim should pay greater attention to those deeds and strive for those actions through which true success can be attained, and avoid deeds that may become obstacles in the path of real success. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So, these of Madani Channel, truly, in the real sense, the fortunate one is the person who is saved from Jahannam. The truly fortunate one is the person who reaches the magnificent, beautiful gardens of Jannah. The truly blessed one is the person who leaves this world with his iman intact. I mean, reflect on this, that when a fortunate person leaves this world with his iman protected, then shaitan can no longer harm him. Allah Ta'ala wills, there will be ease for him in the grave as well. On the day of Qiyamah, he will remain in peace and safety. Crossing the bridge of Sirat will also become easy for him. He will be saved from Jahannam forever and enter Jannah. Subhanallah. Remember that all of this will happen because that fortunate person succeeded in leaving this world with his iman intact. So we too, we should be concerned about safeguarding our iman. Remember, excessive sins have been mentioned among the causes of a bad end, of an evil end. So we should protect ourselves from sins and become those who perform abundant righteous deeds so that we may be included among the fortunate, because fortunate are those who prepare for death before death arrives. Those with whom Allah Ta'ala is pleased. Those, you know, who will be granted recognition of the beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the grave. Those who will receive the mercy of Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. Those who will receive the book of deeds in their right hand. Those who will have no fear of accountability on the day of Qiyamah. Those who will receive the shafa'a, the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those whose graves will become gardens from Jannah. Those whose graves will be illuminated by the prophetic nur. Those who will be granted the blessings of Jannah and safety of iman. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So, in this day and age, just as wealthy people are considered fortunate, So are those with beautiful youthful flesh and handsome faces. However, in reality, the truly fortunate are those whose faces will be beautiful and radiant on the day of Qiyamah. Those whose faces people will recognize from a distance. Those whom even the people of Jannah will envy. Those who will be rejoicing upon receiving, you know, magnificent gardens and tremendous blessings in Jannah. You know, regarding these type of people, such people, Allah Ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاعِمَةٍ لِسَعْيِهَا رَاضِيَةٍ فِي جَنَّةٍ عَالِيَةٍ. Many faces will be blissful on that day, pleased with their endeavors in a lofty garden. Subhanallah, subhanallah. In Tafsir Sirat al-Jinani, it is mentioned, the summary of it is that this means that on the day of Qiyamah, the pious believers will be in place will be in peace and comfort. No, neither will the heat of the sun trouble them, nor the scorching of the earth, neither will they experience fear, nor grief, neither will they be the wrath of Allah Ta'ala upon them, nor the rebuke and condemnation of angels, nor the terror of the day of Qiyamah. Now this is because these blessed people, these fortunate people, remained restless in the world due to the fear of Allah Ta'ala, and restlessness due to the fear of Allah Ta'ala in this world becomes a means of peace on the day of Qiyamah. And on the day of Qiyamah, when Muslims witness their ranks and rewards, they will be pleased and delighted with the good deeds they performed in this world. Truly, the real time to rejoice over good deeds is the day of Qiyamah. Because in this world, one doesn't even know one's final outcome. Thus, when they witness the acceptance of the deeds on the day of gathering, the day of Qiyamah, they will rejoice. Likewise, the righteous deeds of the believers will accompany them in extremely beautiful forms. And upon seeing them, they will experience so much of joy. This is the reality of how good deeds are, Muslim Channel. And we make dua to Allah that Allah Ta'ala accept all the good that we do. Allah Ta'ala grant us ikhlas and sincerity in the good that we do, and protect us from pride and boasting and arrogance and showing off. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. So who are these fortunate people, Ibn Zahmudin Inshallah? Those whose faces on the day of Qiyamah will shine like the moon, upon whom the mercy of Allah Ta'ala will be showering, while people will be suffering through the hardships of accountability. And these people will be under the shade of the throne of Allah Ta'ala. They will have no fear or grief whatsoever. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And it's mentioned, beautiful narration regarding, you know, those with beautiful faces, radiant faces on the day of Qiyamah. It's mentioned that Sayyidina Abu Idris Khawlani rahimahullah said to Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, I love you for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu replied, glad tidings to you. I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that on the day of Qiyamah, chairs will be placed around the Divine Arsh for certain people. Their faces will shine like the full moon. Subhanallah. People will be gripped by panic while they will have no worry. People will be tearful while they will have no fear. They are the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon whom there shall be neither fear nor grief. So it was asked, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are these people? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Humul mutahabbuna fillah. Those who love one another solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, subhanallah. How fortunate are those faithful leaves of Madinah Shalom who love one another purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meet one another for the sake of Allah ta'ala, invite others towards goodness and encourage others to avoid sins. Unfortunately, in many, many places, the situation appears to be completely the opposite. For example, in some places, people are seen fighting over caste and nationality, while elsewhere weapons are raised due to prejudice and fanaticism. Somewhere, shopkeepers and business partners are fighting amongst themselves, while elsewhere, landlords and tenants are physically attacking each other. Somewhere, doctors and patients are displaying impatience towards one another, while elsewhere, contractors and employees are engaged in abusive arguments. Now you see, somewhere fathers and sons are quarreling with each other, while elsewhere, disputes between mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws are taking place. One neighbor is abusing another neighbor, whilst elsewhere, one friend is exposing another's faults, engaging in backbiting and tail-carrying. You know, somewhere, those who possess religious understanding are opposing one another without any valid shad'i reason, while elsewhere, those who invite towards righteousness become upset with one another's words and become lazy in religious activities. So in short, hatred, malice, jealousy are spread everywhere among Muslims. Even though hatred, grudges and jealousy are destructive spiritual diseases, in order to increase love for other Muslims within our hearts and free ourselves from hatred and grudges, there is a beautiful narration that will motivate you and I. You know, once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the best companions, alayhim ridwan, that soon a man from the people of Jannah will come to you from this path. And just then an Ansari companion arrived. He was holding his shoes in his left hand and water from wudu was dripping from his blessed beard. He came forward, offered salam. And the next day, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated the same statement. And once again, the same Ansari companion appeared in the same condition. On the third day, the same thing happened again. So Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu followed that companion and somehow obtained permission to stay with him for 3 days. So, he spent 3 nights with that Ansari companion, but did not see him engage in excessive worship during the night. However, whenever he turned upon his bed, he would remember Allah Ta'ala until he woke up for Fajr Salah. So Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that I heard nothing from him except good words. When the 3 days ended, he said, O servant of Allah, O person, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say 3 times, soon a man from the people of Jannah will come to you, and all 3 times it was you. From that very moment, I firmly resolved that I would observe your deeds, but I did not see you performing any extraordinary acts of worship. So how did you attain this rank? Allahu Akbar. Ansari companion replied, I have no deeds besides what you have seen. However, there is one thing. I do not have or keep any malice in my heart towards any Muslim. Nor do I envy anyone for what Allah Ta'ala has granted them. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that I said to him, this is the very deed that elevated you. And it is something we do not possess the strength to achieve. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Look at how eager this person was to see what his Ansari companion, what action he is doing that granted him the station. And he wanted to also have to also implement and do that action. And this is what we must be greedy for, the youth of Mother Nation, not the dollars, rand and pounds, not wealth. We must be greedy to perform more and more good deeds. We see someone else doing a good deed, we should also want to do the good deed. Not to show off or anything, but sincerely for the treasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now today itself, for the reward and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should forget jealousy, grudges, hatred, enmity, quarrels, and hostility. Embrace one another. Seek forgiveness from one another. Those who love one another solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will attain an immense rank and status on the day of Qiyamah. Subhanallah. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that on the day of Qiyamah, there will be pulpits of light around the Divine Arsh. The clothing and faces of the people upon them will be radiant with light. They will neither be prophets nor martyrs. Yet the prophets and martyrs will envy them. Subhanallah. So the blessed companions, alayhim ridwan, they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please describe their qualities. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, these are the people who love one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sit together for His sake and meet one another solely for His sake. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So the youth of Madinah channel, truly fortunate, are those people who keeping the blessings of Jannah before their eyes, remain patient upon the temporary hardships of this world, rise in the loneliness of the night to perform good deeds, and endure difficulties for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, these people, they are truly fortunate, they are so lucky. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Let me make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala include us among such people. Sayyidina Hafiz Mutahhar Sa'adi rahimahullah was extremely pious and he had a lot of taqwa. For 60 years, continuously, he cried out of longing to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a very interesting parable and story to Yusuf Madani Shalom. So he says, one night, I saw myself in a dream, standing beside a river in which exquisite musk was flowing. On both of its banks, priceless pearls were scattered. Then I saw a palace built from bricks of gold. Inside it were beautiful maidens, adorned with magnificent garments and jewelry, loudly proclaiming the purity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, when I heard the glorification, I asked, who are you? And they replied in beautiful voices, we are among the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I asked, what do you do here? They said, Allah ta'ala created us for those people who stand in worship during the night and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst others are asleep. So I asked, who are those fortunate people whose eyes Allah ta'ala will cool through you? They said, do you not know those people? I said, no. They said, indeed, these are the people who recite the Holy Quran, perform the Tahajjud Salah, and fast during the day. Allah ta'ala created us for such fortunate worshippers. Subhanallah, subhanallah, how fortunate are those people, dear Yusuf Madani Channel, who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the darkness of the night, in the loneliness of the night. They regularly, you know, keep optional fast alongside the obligatory ones. They perform the Tahajjud Salah, they recite the Holy Quran daily and rise during the night for worship. On the other hand, there are many heedless Muslims who remain awake deep into the night, sometimes wasting their time watching, you know, impermissible things, and at other times spending entire nights watching immoralities, etc. The majority among them are those who neither care about Salah, know how to recite the Holy Quran. Even those who do know how to recite, you know, the Quran, it often goes months without even looking at the Holy Quran or touching it. Instead, they deceive themselves with false consolations, saying that in Ramadan we will increase our Salah, in Ramadan we will perform more Nafil Salah, in Ramadan we will recite the Holy Quran abundantly, in Ramadan we will recite one para every morning and evening. Now, despite knowing that every moment of life is precious and that life is simply slipping away with every passing moment, and that we are continuously drawing closer to death, they still remain lazy and continue giving false assurances to themselves. So instead of being deceived by this temporary world of Madani Channel and wasting precious time, adopt piety, adopt taqwa, do good deeds, don't waste days and nights in useless, futile activities and worldly luxuries. Rather, establish punctuality in Salah, number one. Make a habit of reciting at least some portion of the Holy Quran daily, even if it means 3 verses a day. At least recite, you know, at least touch the Holy Quran, at least look inside the Holy Quran, at least recite just 3 verses of the Holy Quran every day. Don't show, you know, laziness in fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and occupy yourself in good deeds. You know, the Quran speaks about those who strive in righteous deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so whosoever does righteous deeds while he is a believer, then his endeavor shall not be devalued, and we record it for him. Subhanallah, from this best verse of Madani Channel, we learn that in the court of Allah ta'ala, the fortunate person is not the one with noble lineage, wealth, fame, or social status. Rather, the truly fortunate person is the one who possesses iman and performs good deeds. You know, regardless of which tribe or nation he belongs to, whether he is fair skin, whether he is dark skin, whether he is wealthy or poor, male or female, if he is a believer, if he or she is a believer, performs the righteous deeds and strives in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, then he or she alone is successful in this world and in the hereafter. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So this is what we need to aim for, the use of Madani channel, inshallah. We need to take the first step, put in the effort, and you would see the results of that, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, for now, we do have a very beautiful Qalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which I'm sure is going to rejuvenate our hearts, minds, bodies, and soul in the love of the beloved Habib, Sayyidina wa Mawlana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us go and listen to this beautiful Qalam, and thereafter we will be back to discuss much more, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mawlaya salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habibika khayr khalqi kullihimi.
Oh Allah, send peace and blessings upon your beloved, the best and perfect creation that you have created.
Mawla ya salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habibika khayr khalqi kullihimi.
Muhammadun سيد الكونين وفقلين والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم. The master of both worlds, jinn and mankind combined, Arab or non-Arab, he is leader of them all.
Mawla صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير خلق كلهم.
هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل Tahimi. He's the loved one whose intercession we all hope for in every horror and yes, in every calamity.
Mawla ya salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habibika khayr khalqi kulli.
And character that don't near him in knowledge or in generosity.
Mawla ya salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habibika khayr khalqi kullihim.
From your knowledge is the tablet and the pen of decree.
Mawla ya salli wa sallim daiman abadan
Al-Karami. For the chosen one, my Lord, let us reach all our goals and pardon us what is gone, O vast in generosity.
Mawla ya salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habibika khair khalqi kullihimi.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, subhanallah, beautiful kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our love for the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah, TV's of Madani channel, coming back to our topic of discussion, in which we are discussing how do we define being fortunate. And we have come to this conclusion that fortunate is not that person who has a beautiful home. Fortunate is not that person who has a beautiful vehicle. Fortunate is not that person who has, you know, influential contacts, etc., etc. Rather, fortunate is that person, subhanallah, who obeys the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That person is truly fortunate who leaves this world with his iman, with his faith intact. That person is truly fortunate who does an abundance of good deeds, who recites the Holy Quran, who performs their salah, who wakes up for tahajjud salah. These people, these of Madani channel, are truly fortunate. And that is the definition of truly being fortunate. Because this world is temporary. Everything we own in this dunya is temporary. But our good deeds, as we have heard the example Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us, our family will leave us, will only take us to the grave. Our wealth will remain here. And it is only our good deeds that is going to go with us into our grave. And that will assist us, inshallah. So, we shouldn't, you know, think that by us having luxuries of this dunya and this world, we are fortunate. No. Rather, we need to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pray and hope that we have death upon iman. That is the important matter, the of man inshallah. A person may live his whole life being poor. But when he leaves this dunya, if he passed away from this dunya with his iman intact, that person is fortunate. Despite being poor in the world, compared to, let's say we have a rich person, and Allah forbid, but let's say, this can be for anyone, but for understanding purposes, for us to know the true definition of being fortunate. Let's say we have a rich person, and ma'adullah, the rich person passes away without iman. Is he fortunate or not? Despite having all the wealth, despite having everything, no, he's not. But the poor person who didn't have money here, who didn't have much wealth, he passed away with iman, mashallah, he is fortunate. But not the other person, the wealthy person who passed away without iman, that person is not fortunate. So this should be our understanding of who is fortunate. We should inculcate it to our children as well. You know, nowadays, we tell our children that, oh, look at this celebrity, look at this athlete, look at this businessman, look at how fortunate they are, you know, etc., etc. We shouldn't make their minds like that. Rather, what we should do is instill in them fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, love for Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, instill in them love for reciting the Holy Quran, love for sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, instill in them love for performing salah. Then they will truly become fortunate, inshallah. This is what we should be instilling in our children. And there are some signs of a fortunate person. We mentioned this one, inshallah. And the first sign of a fortunate person is that he is granted the love of good deeds. Yes. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that one day, we were present in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man arrived, dismounted from his horse and walked humbly towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have come from a 9-day journey, but completed it in 6, staying thirsty by day and awake by night, for I was restless until I could reach your blessed presence. And the purpose of my coming is 2 questions that have kept me sleepless. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked his name, he replied, Ana Zaydun al-Qayl, I am Zayd the horseman. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Bal anta Zaydun al-Qayl. No, you are not Zaydun al-Qayl, but rather you are Zaydun al-Qayl. You are the man of goodness. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ask what you wish. Now the companion asked 2 unique questions. My 2 questions are, who is the beloved? Who is the person beloved to Allah? And what is his sign? And who is the person whom Allah Ta'ala dislikes? And what is his sign? Subhanallah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, O Zayd, tell me, how did you begin your morning? Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when I woke up, I found in my heart a love for good deeds and for the righteous. My heart desired to perform good deeds. If I missed any good deed, I felt sorrow over it. And if I performed any, whether small or great, I was certain that I would be rewarded for it. Subhanallah. Meaning there are 3 key traits of someone in each channel. Number 1, love for goodness and for righteous people. Number 2, a deep desire to do good deeds. Number 3, feeling sorrow when unable to perform a good deed. So, when Sayyidina Zaydun al-Khair radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave this reply, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, this is exactly the sign of the one whom Allah intends goodness for. And the sign of a person whom Allah Ta'ala dislikes is that if Allah Ta'ala had not willed goodness for you, He would have made the opposite actions easy for him. And Allah would not care in which valley you perish. Allahu Akbar. So yes, if it's from Adin Chiram, we make dua to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to make us from amongst the truly fortunate ones, inshallah. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. We have reached the end. The conclusion of today's episode. Until then, keep watching Madani channel and keep sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Reflection that guide both heart and mind. A better life through faith we'll find. A better life through faith we'll find. Reflections for the